Good morning, church. I'm feeling a little bit silly because just a few days ago, if you've not checked your church email, just a few days ago, literally in this section, Andy and I filmed some very odd encounters fighting over a seat, and I'm walking in about to give my sermon, and I just stand next to you, Andy, and I normally stand there thinking about what I'm going to say, but I have this insatiable desire to tackle you. I've never had that before, so wow, that'd be an interesting Mission Sunday. Okay, let's recenter here. Hey, glad you're here. My name's Phil, if this is your first time with us this morning. It's a really important day for us. We call it Missions Sunday, and if you've heard that term and you're wondering, what exactly are they talking about? So years ago, from the really inception of this particular congregation, missions has been a really important value to the leadership here. And early on, we would send missionaries to different parts of the world. We take very seriously the Great Commission when Jesus says, go into all the world. And so about 24 years ago, we recognized that our kingdom footprint on earth was increasing. And there were certain needs and certain projects and certain ideas and people to support that didn't necessarily fit in our normal contribution. And so many years ago, we dedicated one Sunday a year where we would come together as a church family and give a unique special offering specifically for these mission projects all throughout the world. And it's one of our favorite Sundays. We celebrate. We usually have some wonderful videos where we get a glimpse into what is going on in different parts of the world, and we often get to celebrate with missionaries who are on site. And so that's today. So if you have never been to our worship service, this is a very fun and meaningful Sunday. Just a few days ago, I want to celebrate this before we move on. We had a few of our teenagers give their life to Jesus in baptism. And so if Hayden or Wyatt or Lane is here, will you stand up? We want to recognize you. So if you know any of those wonderful young people, you might give them a word of encouragement. So a few weeks ago, at Mount Everest, something really interesting happened. There was a hiker named Chris Young, and he was descending the mountain. He was about 25,000 feet up, but coming down the mountain, and he had two people he was hiking with. One of his hiking mates was about 100 feet below him and was struggling. Couldn't breathe, wasn't doing well. And then about 100 feet above him was a seasoned veteran named Dawa Sherpa, 57 years old, had summited Everest dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I mean, his family surname is Sherpa, so this guy comes from a long line of people who are really good at guiding others up and down Everest. And so Chris noticed that Dawa had stopped to take a brief rest, which was normal. And so Chris decided he needed to give his attention to the other part of the trio, which was struggling. Chris went down, helped the guy, looked back up, couldn't see Dawa anymore. Unbeknownst to Chris, Dawa had had an experience he'd never had before in all of his hikes. His body had just gone stiff. It wasn't a coma, but he couldn't move, and he didn't know what to do. And eventually, Dawa had actually slipped over and fallen into a crevice on the side of the trail, and nobody knew where he was. Next morning, some hikers went out to try to find him, and he was gone. 24 hours passed, 48 hours passed. By day four, the family, in utter grief, went ahead and started to plan the funeral for Dawa. They were so devastated. On day six, someone at a particular camp saw a man crawling through an ice field, went over and checked, and it was Dawa. He had survived 6 days on the deadliest mountain in the world. And so when reporters eventually, when he went to the hospital and when he was okay, obviously he was asked, how did you do that? How did you survive 6 days on Mount Everest with no water, no bottled oxygen up at the 25,000 foot elevation? And he said a few really interesting things. He said, well, I had a very small piece of chocolate in my pocket, and so I rationed that for a few days. He said, I realized that I would need water. I didn't have any, and there was ice, and so I decided I was going to chew ice to get some hydration in my body, and it was really hard because the ice was so hard that I could tell it was destroying my teeth, but I reasoned that it was actually more important to get water in my body, even if it really messed up my teeth, and so I just kept chewing on ice. And then he said, when I was stuck in this crevice on day three, I realized that unless something happens, I'm not going to be able to climb out of here. But then something did happen. And normally this is a thing that takes life, but I realized in my case I could use it to my advantage. There was an avalanche, and I actually used the snow from the avalanche to get me out of the crevice. And once I was out of the crevice, I generally had a sense of direction of where I was, and so I just started to crawl down the mountain, and finally on day six, I was rescued. It's a pretty amazing story. In fact, I would argue that 99% of people on earth, had they gone through the same experience, they would have died. Like, they wouldn't have made it off the mountain. And yet Dawud did make it, and to summarize all that, he makes it because he's prepared. Like, he's lived his entire life in some ways getting ready to survive on the mountain, and he did. The last few weeks, as we've been getting ready for today, our theme this year for Mission Sunday is pray and prepare. So in the same way that Dawud spent really his whole lifetime getting prepared for this single moment of survival, we have been talking about how do we get prepared for the mission of God. In fact, this is a three-year arc. Year one is pray and prepare. Year two is go and make. And then year three is share and celebrate. And so a lot of what we're doing this year is preparing for what would it look like for all of us to go on short-term mission trips a year from now. Now, as we've gone through these few weeks, you might find yourself thinking, why are we waiting around? Like, let's go. We know what to do. We're ready. We don't need to spend a whole year preparing for this. Like, let's go. And honestly, that's more my personality. I'm kind of a let's go kind of a guy. And so if you've been thinking, why are we spending a whole year talking about preparation, it might be really good for you, and it's good for me too, to remember passages like this. Luke 24, after Jesus rises from the dead, before he goes back to heaven, he says this to his apostles. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. It's kind of an interesting, odd instruction that Jesus gives them. Just stay. And honestly, if I'm one of the disciples at this point, I'm going to be a little irritated because they're ready. They've gone through 3 years of training. They've witnessed the crucifixion and now resurrection. They finally get it, something they didn't for a long time. That, oh, he had to die to come back from the dead to restore the whole world. Like, they understand the gospel. Peter's been forgiven. They know how to teach. They performed miracles already on their mission trips. They're ready. And so if I'm one of these disciples, I'm going to be a little irritated. Like, Jesus, let's go. Why do we have to wait? And yet Jesus says, no, I just need you to stay. In fact, they have to wait for 10 days before Pentecost. It's a really interesting period of time. Sometimes I wonder, what in the world did they do? Like, don't you think they got bored? I get bored easily. And so I'm thinking, like, what, you know, Tuesday afternoon, 3 o'clock, what are they doing? What are they doing for breakfast on Wednesday? What are they doing on Friday when the murmur of the street vendors fills the background and they're just sitting there? Like, what exactly were they doing in these 10 days? Well, in hindsight, now that we know what happened with the start of the church and the power of Pentecost, we can actually recognize that the waiting was critical to the witness. So this sermon that changed the world in Acts chapter 2 was predicated on this remarkable period of spiritual incubation that took place in these 10 days. In fact, there's several what I would call pre-Pentecost moves that happened among the people of God that were critical in the spread of the gospel. So here's a few of them. So notice this, what the angels tell the disciples right before this period of waiting starts. They say, Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. That's a beautiful vision that these angels are giving the apostles. In a sense, what the angels are giving the apostles is the ultimate end, the ultimate goal. Someday he's coming back. You got to think the apostles thought about that in the subsequent days. He's actually going to come back? But it's so orienting to know where you're going, to know what the ultimate goal is. My guess is they thought in those days about, well, how would we prepare ourselves for the return of the king? And how would we prepare the Jewish nation and the Gentiles for the return of King Jesus? I mean, knowing the end, knowing the goal is so important. That's one thing that happened in this period before the launch of the church. Here's the second thing that happened. Jesus actually says this in Acts 1 verse 8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So in other words, this was a map, or it's a sense of this is what God's going to do as we anticipate this great end when Jesus comes back. Here's the map. Here's the plan. We're going to start here in Jerusalem. Then we're going to get a little wider with Judea and Samaria. And then eventually the gospel is going to go throughout the entire world. So they had this goal. Let's prepare the world for the return of the king. And then they had this, in a sense, a plan, a map. Okay, here's how we are going to do it. Here's a final thing that occurs in this waiting period. Acts 1:14. A very simple statement, but has a lot of power to it. They all joined together constantly in prayer. In other words, in light of the goal, Jesus is coming back, and in light of the map or the plan, the disciples then pray. In other words, they're asking God, hey, can we be part of this journey? We want to join you in your mission to redeem the world. So they prayed. A goal, a map, and a prayer. As you think about your role in the mission of God, do you have a goal, an intent, a direction? Do you have a plan, like how you would get to that goal? Like maybe you know someone that's far from God, and that person's on your heart. Is there any kind of a roadmap, a plan of how you might share the gospel with that person? Do you have a goal? Do you have a map? Do you pray? I know you pray about things, but do you pray specifically about your role in partnering with the Spirit to bring about the purposes of God for his kingdom? A goal, a map, a prayer. A lot of today is about equipping all of us in all three of those particular movements of the Spirit. In fact, every household by now should have one of these bags. Thank you for the teenagers for passing these out. I want to talk about a few of the items in the bag. These are just reminders for us in the coming weeks and months as we prepare for the mission of God. A few things I want to highlight. One, you'll find two circles. They look very similar. This is just the logo for pray and prepare. As you get busy and life takes over, one is a magnet. You can stick it on your fridge. The other is a patch, like a merit badge that a scout might get. And so you can take that home. And these are reminders of the importance of preparation for the mission of God. You're also going to find a little compass. If you want to pull your compass out and hold that for a minute. I actually really like compasses. Nobody really uses them anymore because they're embedded in our cars and our phones. But I did Cub Scouts as a kid, and I have really fond memories of using a compass in a field to try to find various points, like hunting for treasure in a field. I love the idea of a compass. It orients you to north, like this is where we need to go. And back to the text, I got to think as Acts develops and as the church launches, these apostles and disciples are always keeping in the forefront of their mind, Jesus is coming back. That's the North Star. That's the goal. We have to prepare a people to be ready to meet the King. And so you've got a compass here. And so as your life gets really busy, this is just to remind you about passages like John 3:16, these orienting passages. That's what we're supposed to do. Matthew 28, Great Commission. This is to orient us on the big goal of the mission of God. Next, I want you to pull out this map. We actually have a map in your take-home kit, and I love the way it looks. So on the inside, it's just a map of the world. And it's really interesting to look at this because the map tells us where all of our mission points are. Sometimes when you're in the throes of normal life and even normal church life, it's easy to lose sight of how many people we support throughout the world. So it's really, really helpful to look at it on that front. And specifically, it's helpful for your prayers. Like you can lift up these people in prayer that they can carry out the mission of God in their own context. I love looking at this map because it also reminds me that what Jesus told the apostles in Acts 1, it's happening. Like this prediction of, yeah, you're going to be my witnesses, and it's going to start right here in Jerusalem, but it's going to go across the world. 2,000 years later, these words of Jesus have actually come true, and we get a chance to continue to partner with Jesus in his plan to love and save the entire world. So you got the map. Third thing I want to highlight is you have a prayer book in there. It's a really, really cool resource. A lot of thought and attention went into this prayer book. So it's a 30-day missions prayer plan. So in many ways, this is how, or one of the ways that you can really partner with us, partner with leadership, partner with each other, partner with our missionaries to lift up the mission of God all around the world. So so every day has a different prompt. So day one is, it's like big picture, we're just going to pray for missions in the world. And then as you go through the book, I think day 7 or 8, we're praying specifically for the works going on in Honduras. And at one point, we're praying specifically for the Village of Hope in Ghana, Africa. One of the prayers is oriented towards the theme of those who are sent or called. And so every day has a different prayer prompt, and there's so much thought put into this particular guide. So you have a month. I mean, can you imagine if all of us joined together in prayer for the mission of God, the kingdom of God, in very, very specific ways for an entire month? I think God can do really, really big things through that. A goal, a map, a prayer. Really important components with and for preparation. In fact, speaking of prayer and just recognizing what God's doing in the world, I want to pause for just a moment and bring a few friends up to the stage so we can recognize what they've been doing and also pray specifically for them. So the Elitches, and then Katie and Gina, and then the leaders that are going to support you. If you'll come up to the stage for just a minute here, we would like to recognize the work that you are doing. So as they make their way up to the stage, let's go ahead and recognize the work that these great missionaries are doing in the world. Okay, so introductions here. So these are the Elitches, Mislav and Chnesnia, and they are in Croatia doing really remarkable work. And there's actually a new congregation they've started in about the last year. And so really, really cool things are going on in Croatia. This is Katie Ritter, and she was actually here just a few weeks ago. This week on Thursday, she is flying to Guatemala, where she is going to live permanently and work with Health Talents International and do great mission work there. And this is Gina Norred, and she has just done 3 years in the HIM program with Mary Nelson in New Zealand and has just contributed in a lot of significant ways in that part of the world. And we are blessed because they all happen to be here on Missions Sunday. And so standing by them are our various church leaders and liaisons that are very familiar with their work. We have Brent Nichols and Robert Lamb and then Kendon Muriel. And so each of these guys is going to just comment on their mission work a little bit and then lead a specific prayer on behalf of them. So Brent, I will turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you. As you know, we're blessed here at Memorial Road to work with so many great missionaries and mission points. And the Elitches have been working in Croatia for many years and have been a great influence in that region, in that area, not just in their community, but throughout the country. And we are very proud of the work that they have been doing, as they've actually even transitioned to a newer work in the last few years. And we are just honor to partner with you in that work. And so we just want to say a quick prayer, thanking you for the work that you're doing, but also asking God to continue to bless your work. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the work that you're doing throughout the world. We thank you specifically for the work that is going on in Croatia and the work that they are doing, the Ilitches are doing. And God, we just pray your blessing on them. May they continue to disciple and reach out and to find and raise up new leaders in that country, and that it would bless the church in that region. And God, we just are grateful for the great work that they are doing and pray that you encourage them and you help us to, as we partner with them, to be good partners and to do our part and to remember them in our prayers, and just thanking you for the work that you're doing in that place. Please bless them and watch over them, and we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe that God has guided Katie's path. As a undergraduate student, nursing student at Abilene, she went on her first Health Talents trip for medical evangelism, first of 15 trips she's gone on. Then she moved to Edmond, worked at the hospital, taught at Oklahoma Christian, and worshiped here for 11 years. Then she got her nurse practitioner degree, and for the last few years has been working in a federally qualified health center in South Texas. And now on Thursday, she leaves for Guatemala to be the U.S. Missionary nurse at Hospital Azel. We'll pray for Katie. Our God and our Father, we thank you for Katie and her heart and her love for the people of the world, and especially people of Guatemala. We pray for safe travels. We pray for safe travels as she goes to clinics in Guatemala. We also pray for Sherry Krishmar at this time, who will be returning as the U.S. Missionary Nurse after 19 years in Guatemala. We pray for Katie's family as they will miss her. We pray that as the excitement of this move is over, there may be times of doubt. We ask for strength and encouragement during those times. We thank you for her love for Jesus and doing the mission work. We pray for her safety. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are so grateful and incredibly proud of Gina and the way that she has represented Memorial Road and the HIM program over the last 2.5 years in New Zealand. Gina has served faithfully alongside Mary Nelson, Mission Bible Class, and the Otemodai Church. And we know that her servant heart, her humility, and her love for people have made a lasting impact there. A few months ago, Ben and Seda and Faith and I were visiting in New Zealand, and we had the chance to talk with people who were serving alongside Gina, and we heard the same thing from almost every person we talked to. They said, Gina is amazing. And then a lot of people said, we'd really appreciate it if you could copy and paste Gina and send us more hymn workers like her. That kind of praise speaks volumes about not only the kind of work that Gina has done, but the kind of person that she is. Thank you, Gina, for living a life in New Zealand that points people to Jesus. And we are excited to see how God uses you next. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Gina and for the beautiful servant heart that you've given her. And thank you for the lives she has touched, the relationships she has built, and the faithful witness that she has been in New Zealand. As she considers what comes next, we ask that you would give her wisdom, peace, and clear direction. Open the doors that you want her to walk through, and give her the courage to follow wherever you lead. God, continue to use Gina to bring hope and encouragement and the love of Christ to those around her. May she always know that you go before her, walk beside her, and remain faithful in every season. God, we praise you for who you are and the work that you do in this world. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Can we once again recognize Gina, Katie, and the Eliches? Okay, thank you. I want you to think as they make their way to their seats about the similarities between the church now and those early apostles. The early apostles had a goal. We're going to prepare ourselves, prepare the church, and prepare the world for the return of the king. That's our goal. The early apostles had a map. We're going to start local, then we're going to go global. That's our map too. You start in your zip code, you start where you are, but then you start to think bigger and bigger about what God might do in the world. And those early apostles, they prayed that they might participate in the mission of God. That's our prayer too. The more you pray, the more you start to see the world the way that God sees the world. And so prayer and partnership always go together. If you're looking for an avenue to do more of your life with God, it begins on your knees. So we pray into the mission of God. And so using these three, you might call them tools of preparation, a goal, a map, and a prayer, I now want you to think about what's next, like the next part of your particular journey and involvement in the mission of God. I want you to watch this video as we anticipate what God will do in the coming years through our efforts.
I want to personally invite you.
I want to invite all of you healthcare workers and service-minded people.
We welcome you to come and reach out and be a blessing.
Welcome to Rural Church Oklahoma.
Come and see for yourself.
If you're looking for someone next year for the Go and Make initiative that you'd like to come out and join, we would love to have you. We'd love to introduce you to this place, these people, and just how amazing this whole place can be.
But we know that people are lost and they're longing for a deeper meaning of life.
And we want to invite you and welcome you in our country to help us with our evangelistic efforts.
Please come to Nema Village in Tanzania.
We would love for you to come and rock our babies
and love our babies
and be involved in the many other ministries that we have here in Arusha at Nema Village.
You are so welcome.
Through the internet, we are able to provide teachers all over the world with everything they need to teach children about God. I hope you'll be able to use these resources as you go out and teach. Because wherever you go, I know you'll meet children.
We work with Health Talents International. We want to invite all of you healthcare workers and service-minded people to come down and serve with us sometime.
And this has become a mission point to the church here in Mombasa. We welcome you to come and reach out to the many people that are still in darkness. We have so many. If we had an opportunity, we would welcome you to come and reach out and be a blessing to this country.
Welcome to Rural Church Oklahoma. I want to encourage as many of you as possible to come to one of the small churches I visit during the year of Go and Make.
We're just on the outskirts of beautiful Rio de Janeiro, and we invite you to come and work with us. We want you to help us generate new contacts through a Let's Start Talking campaign. We hope to see you soon.
Come and see us and bless us in Valinhos, São Paulo. This is a fast-growing congregation. It's a brand new congregation where you can come, you can help, you can be a part of the members' lives in a place that it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Look into the faces of our students because you're looking into the faces of the future of the church in Latin America. So come help out and you'll be a part of the future of the church in Latin America.
In Nairobi Great Commission School, there exists an opportunity for you to teach a course, for you to be able to participate in our practicums and internships, and also to teach in our extension schools.
We would like to tell you about our clinic that serves the inner city of Oklahoma City. We take care of all kinds of people, so we have a need for pharmacists, doctors, phlebotomists, med techs, people who want to love people, people who want to pray with people, to come walk the journey with us. Come on down. We'll see you soon.
And I would like to take this chance to invite every member of the Memorial Road Church of Christ to come and visit us here in Tauranga, New Zealand, and be part of our mission. We're looking for anyone to help. It doesn't matter whether you're a teacher, doctor, lawyer, candlestick maker, baker. young or old, we'd love to see you.
Mucho más que nosotros ha estado el apoyo de la Iglesia de Memorial. Todos ellos nos han estado ayudando para emprender este trabajo en Artemisa.
And we would love to have people from Memorial Road come out and visit for the Go and Make Disciples mission to see the work that we're doing here and to meet all the people from the Netherlands and our members from all over the world. So thanks.
Wonder what God is doing in the heart of Africa? Come and see for yourself at the Southern Africa Bible College, where for 60 years we have been training men and women for ministry. Spend some time with us in classroom, share your knowledge and work with us in the various communities where we serve. We'll save a seat for you. Come and see.
Let me encourage you that 23 minutes away from your building, you can come and see us at South Walker. We are a multilingual, multicultural setting. Half of our members are Hispanic. We reach a lot of international people through our English classes. There are multiple ways that you can serve that include tutoring and teaching and other things as well. So let's talk about how you can do a mission trip to South Walker Church of Christ.
You can come here to Vienna. You can worship with us. You can walk alongside us. You can see all the great things that God is doing here through us, through your generosity. We're so excited for that initiative and for who may come next year. So look forward to seeing you guys.
Come visit us to show love to babies, to care for children, to educate students, and to provide health care to the sick. Come to Ghana.
Come and see us, and we hope you're a part of this Go and Make initiative. God bless you.
Okay, so a year from now, we are inviting everybody, every single member, bring your friends, bring your neighbors. We want you to go on a mission trip. And it could be across the world. Maybe you heard one of those people just now, and you're like, I'm going there. It could be local. Here in like an hour, I am going to join the junior high kids on a mission trip to one of the most hedonistic places in the world, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And got to get that Park Church of Christ under control. So, but it could be anywhere, but we're wanting you to discern where that trip is going to be. In fact, we've recruited some volunteers to help us just organizationally with the scope and the size. It's a big project, and I'd like to invite them up to the stage. So Nathan and Evelyn Sindorf come up here, and then Matt and Mandy Stansberry. If you'll give them a round of applause as they make their way to the stage. So it's a big project, a lot of size and scope to it, and yeah, Matt and Mandy, hello, first of all, happy Mission Sunday to you. What are the hopes, what are the dreams for this kind of a project for the church?
Yeah, I think ultimately we look at this as a chance and opportunity to fulfill Matthew 28:19, mm-hmm. where Jesus instructs us to go and make disciples of all nations. He asks us to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach all his teachings that he commanded. How that looks practically is one of the things you mentioned earlier, Phil, around prayer. Prayer is a huge part. We appreciate our prayer warriors here. There's so much that needs to be bathed in prayer as we think about all these opportunities. The second thing is we have resources and needs, and there's a lot of people here that can provide those different resources. And the third is actually, which is arguably maybe the most important, right, is to be those feet and hands that go out into the world and serve. And so if that's something you're thinking about, we just, you know, we hope that you will say yes and commit to doing that. And, you know, as the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus also said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we're really grateful to be part of such a mission-minded church here at Memorial Road. And missions takes both goers and senders. So everybody can be involved in some way, whether if you're going on a mission trip, helping to send someone on a mission trip, or hopefully everybody here will be in prayer over this initiative over the next year.
Amen to that. Okay, Evelyn, tell us a little bit about the trips. Like, what kind of trips are we expecting here to go on?
Yeah, well, I think both of the videos today gave great examples of locations where we might send people. the types of work that might be happening. But we really want all of these efforts to be accessible to everyone who wants to participate. So you will see groups working with established ministries in Oklahoma City all the way to international campaigns. Phil looks like he's looking for a campaign to Hawaii this morning, if anyone would like to lead that.
You read that correctly, yes.
But as our missionaries have said in this most recent video, they really would love for groups to come work with them, to support them, encourage them. And because these trips are so important to the church, a part of today's special contribution has been earmarked for scholarships for those trips. So we want you to be talking about this with your families. Get your kids involved. Ask them what they think that your family ought to be participating in. Talk with your small groups in your Bible classes and see what can you guys accomplish as a group together.
So Nathan, thank you for that, by the way. And yes, Hawaii, let's go. Nathan, it's a lot of big picture kind of stuff, but what's the first step? Or someone in the audience is like, I don't even know where to start. Like, how would you advise that person?
Yeah, absolutely. Reach out. I can't tell you how excited we are just to talk with all of you around Go and Make. So reach out to us. As you can tell, we're giving up sleep for a period of time, so we'll have plenty of time to read emails from you guys. That'll be at goandmake@mrcc.org. We want to hear if there's a project that you want to do. We want to hear about it. If there's a ministry that you're passionate about or missions area you want to be involved in, share that with us too. Or even if you're excited but you don't know what that looks like, let us know that you want to be involved, because there's a lot of work that's going to be coming up and we want to know who we can get to share that with us. So reach out to us in the hallway. If you see us, we'd love to talk. Again, goandmake@mrcc.org.
Thank you so much, Nathan. Would you mind wording a prayer on behalf of this effort?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. And we just stand in awe today at all the ways that you are at work in the world and the ways that you are bringing your kingdom here. And we just thank you for the opportunity you've given us to participate in that in some small way. As we start this new effort, we just ask that you be present and guide us on every step of the way, that you would be in every conversation, every decision, every project. Lord, help us through the next year as we abide in you to discern your will for us in our lives and see what you're calling us to. Give us the courage and the conviction to follow through. Lord, we just ask that you help us to see your will be done, your kingdom come, your glory be done. Lord, we ask that everything be done be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Let's give another round of applause for these wonderful people. The final item in your bag, I want you to note, and I want to make a comment about it. It's a ticket. And the left side of the ticket has some comments about pray and prepare, but the right side of the ticket has a blank spot. And so here's what we'd like you to do. We'd like you to take this home, maybe put it on your fridge with the magnet, and then when you decide where you're going to take your trip next year, we'd like you to bring it back. In fact, in the coming months, we're going to build a display of the world, and we'd like to populate that display with these tickets that you will fill out so we can start to get a sense of where God is leading each of us to go next year. So take this home, put it on the fridge, and then pray about where a God might be wanting you to go a year from now, and then bring that back when the time comes. One thing that I am so convinced of is that the mission of God's happening everywhere. Yes, it's happening across the world, but it is happening right here in Edmond, Oklahoma. I just got back from a few days helping out with the teenagers at church camp, and I'm always reminded when I go to church camp of how the Spirit works when hearts are open. And so we're going to sing a song now, and it could be that the Spirit of God is moving somebody in this room. I'm reminded when Paul is recounting his own conversion story in Acts 22, the language he uses in that part of the Bible is he says that the Spirit had said to him, or what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized. wash away your sins, calling on his name. So there's an urgency when one hears the call of the Lord. And so that actually might be you today. And so you are welcome to come down front and talk to me about that if you'd like to get baptized today. And as always, if you'd like to talk to a shepherd, they'll be in the back two atriums, and they'd love to visit with you and pray with you if you have that need this morning. Let's stand and sing.